Shea McClellan had a sack. It was it showed off his speed at 4.63 at the combine, and certainly the kid was in high gear, had great closing speed. He also got a penalty for hitting a guy late.
Yeah, that was
a bit harsh. But he also there should have been an interception on another hit he made of the quarterback. He did also get steamrolled down by the goal line. But all in all, I would say he flashed, and that's what you want from a rookie.
Well, I think Shea McClellan flashed exactly what they're looking for,
yep.
which is that, you know, presence off the edge. I think there's plenty of stuff that he can clean up and continue to improve. But the one thing you can't coach up is the burst, the first step quickness, the speed around the edge. You know, Rod Marinelli can't do much to improve that. And that's what we saw, and that's what they're looking for. So I think that game's only a little bit of a confidence builder for Shea McClellan. They got what they were looking for. Hey, and I thought Corey Wooten flashed a little bit too there. You know, he draws the holding penalty from Ryan Clay. Wooten was the guy in place of Peppers, and he's had a pretty good training camp to this point. And so something for him to work off of moving forward as well. And then when you talk about a rookie doing well like McClellan, Alshon Jeffrey to come up with four catches. And I thought two of them were really examples of what he can do for him, which is use his body to shield the defensive back and make a play. But, boy, he just couldn't get off of press coverage. And that's something you were concerned about. And I think it's going to be an issue moving forward. Talked to one scout after the game from another club, and he said, you know, what this kid needs to do to maximize his ability is to you know, kind of embrace this possession receiver type mold and go out and become the best Keyshawn Johnson he can possibly become. And okay, it doesn't set your world on fire, but hey, every offense needs one of those guys, and if he can be that big, physical guy down the road, that's certainly going to be an asset.
And Bigsy, I know it's not fair, but it's what how I reacted when Major Wright is announced that he's out with the hamstring. Now it's great that he got the interception. Nice effort after the DJ Moore deflection.
Yeah, nice play by DJ Moore too.
Right.
Let's not forget.
And the sod's wet, and you know it's tough go on the track there. But I say, you know, I literally yelled out, here we go again. I mean, the guy's hurt again, and he's hurt early. And, you know, I don't know how to evaluate Major Wright because you don't see enough of him. I mean, sometimes when he's out there, you like what you see. But if you can't count on him, and again, maybe not fair, but it's just a reaction. I'm sure I'm not the only fan watching that thinking the same thing.
Yeah, I think I reacted the same way. But I will tell you this much, that Major Wright was all smiles in the locker room after the game. He said that it was only tightness in his hamstring, and so that it was a precaution. Did he not go back in the game? He acted like basically no big deal here. But it's got to be, you know, given his track record and given that it's a hamstring, and those can be tricky, you've got to have a little bit of concern. But makes the break on the ball, is there to kind of clean up a play, like you said, that was started by DJ Moore, and that's what you want to see from him.
And he stayed with it, too. I mean, he could have just batted that ball down or, you know, ended up incomplete, but he stayed with it and hauled it in, and you get the ball at the goal line.
Yeah, and that's what you have to have from him, is these instinctual plays. That's what they thought they were going to get with him when they drafted him in the third round out of Florida, but he's had the ticky-tack injuries ever since he arrived in 2010. You know, he was injured in the first preseason game of his rookie season against San Diego back in 2010. So you see this happen, and it's announced that he has a hamstring issue, and exactly your reaction is, oh, boy, here we go again. He downplayed it. I think this is something we'll get a better handle on by early next week. You know, if we're seeing Major Wright on the sideline each day down in Bourbonnais, then we'll say, okay, well, now there's an issue. You wonder if he's going to play against the Redskins, but I'm going to wait until Monday or Tuesday to get a handle on that.
Brian Urlacher obviously not there. I mean, I don't know. Where is he?
Yeah, that's it's really a shame the club hasn't done a better job for Brian's sake and everyone else's of sort of explaining the situation. But obviously, you know, his knee's getting rest because he's not doing football. Phil Emery saying before the game on the sister station WBBM that it's only a matter of him needing some time to rest the knee, and that you know, everyone's saying he's going to return soon. The players are off today, okay, so he doesn't need any type of permission slip from the head coach today, and then back at work down in Bourbonnais on Saturday morning, and then they'll practice Saturday afternoon down at Olivet. So we'll see if Brian's made available, if Brian's back with the team on Saturday and perhaps back to work, at least maybe doing some stuff on the side. You know, as I've said, has not practiced since July 31st. And unless you see him back to practice real soon, I think it'd be a stretch to say that he would play against Washington.
Any of the young guys on either side of the ball impress you, stand out for you? Fry was on the screen quite a bit last night. Obviously, Dane Zanzibacher's in a battle for a roster spot. He had a couple of receptions, but any of the new guys stick out for you?
Yeah, I thought Fry showed up a little bit. The rookie wide receiver from Nevada was able to make a couple plays. Matt Blanchard, I'm not going to get too excited about an undrafted rookie quarterback from a D3 school, but the guy came out there and completed his first six passes.
Yep.
And you know what you saw from him was just a little bit of poise. And that's something that you usually don't see from the fourth quarterback. JT Thomas, the linebacker who was a sixth-round pick a year ago, missed the entire season because of a back issue, all over the field making tackles in cleanup time. Nate Collins, the defensive tackle, looked like he was playing pretty hard out there. I thought Karimi looked fine when he was out there, and that's certainly something in regards to the offensive line that is a bright spot. And, you know, they just need him to keep coming along. But, you know, other than that, I think, like I said, the bar's been set at a pretty low level, a level they could probably walk over against Washington. And there you go. You know, I'm not going to get too wrapped up in a blowout preseason loss. And you know, the star players weren't out there. Because the offense has been relatively crisp, I would say, down in training camp. You guys have been down there, have seen a little bit of it. And you know, you've watched the offense and you've said, hey, this looks different than what I've seen most summers. So,
but even special teams were kind of like, eh. I mean, you know, there's nothing.
But the special teams thing, you've got such turnover in that unit that give them time, and I'm quite certain that if they're going to be fine anywhere, it'll be on special teams. But I'm going to trust what I've seen in Bourbonnais for the most part more than what we saw in a brief showing last night.
Thanks, Big Z. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Have a great weekend, fellas.
That's Brad Biggs. He, of course, covers the Bears for the Chicago Tribune and the National Football Post and the Mully and Hanley Show.
Yeah, we're lucky to have him.
Mully and Hanley on the Score.